So we are still in the first chapter of Luke. We are still learning about all the people that lead up to Jesus. We started with Zechariah and his encounter with the angel that told him that Elizabeth would conceive and bear a son, and they would name him John. Zechariah could not comprehend this news. He was struck mute. That was the first week of Advent. Then the last week there was another annunciation of a non-standard pregnancy. That was adolescent Mary. Now we are on week three of Advent and we bump into Zechariah and Elizabeth again. Listen to the part of our sacred story found in Luke chapter 1, verses 57 to 66. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth. And she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." And then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about, through the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed, the hand of the Lord was with him." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The reaction of the people isn't really so surprising, is it? People being humans as they are. It hadn't taken long for word to spread that an angel had pushed the mute button on Zechariah after he doubted aloud the promise and life that God was going to bring to birth through old Elizabeth. It wasn't just Zechariah who thought Elizabeth getting pregnant at that stage of the game was crazy talk. The people of the village thought so also. And how quick they were to start tongue wagging, repeating the story, embellishing the story, misinterpreting the story. You know how it goes. People are people, after all. Then add in a story as peculiar as this one, and the chit-chat is all over the place. So I imagine there was some attention being paid to Elizabeth as her belly grew and she finally delivered. There she was, an example of God bringing life where everyone thought there could be none. More chit-chat around the village. Eyes were upon the three of them. And when the baby was 8 days old and it was time for him to be circumcised and named. Named. The tradition would be to name the child after his father. But Elizabeth speaks up. She remembers that conversation with the angel and the angel's decree that the baby would be named John. "It's John," she says. And Zechariah seconds her opinion by writing on a tablet, "His name is John." And then Zechariah's mouth is opened and he begins praising God. The people continue their chit-chat. Whatever is going on here, and who is this baby that made things so peculiar? What's going to happen? What will this child become? The people chit-chat. The people are scared, understandably. This is not the routine of every day. And this is what happens next, according to the part of our sacred story found in Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 80. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of the servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and that from the hand of all who hate us. And thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and remembered his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will speak upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. The child grew and became a strong spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly in Israel.
This is how we lead up to Jesus and Christmas, with these Advent stories that are all about potential, all about what God is promising to bring to life. They are future-oriented, all about what will happen and what will be. The promise is beautiful, the hope powerful, but they are all future. It's what is going to happen. It matters. But we are living in what is, right here, right now. The third week of Advent. The sugar highs and lows are in full swing. The needed gifts and required money to purchase or time to make. The lack of sleep. The minefield of regime change. The stresses in relationships. The concern about health. The endless to-do list. These are all going on right now. More is coming. Because we have to get ready. And because more is coming, we have to get ready. And there's a lot to do to get ready. If we think we are caught up, then we create more things to do. I got caught up, tripped up in the seasonal angst this week. These times are so loaded with triggers and opportunities to get overwhelmed. And it feels horrible when it happens. It's so not what is supposed to be happening. It's supposed to be twinkling lights and sparkling eyes of children. It's supposed to be Christmas movies and beautiful music. It's supposed to be romance and Norman Rockwell. Exhaustion, loneliness, skyrocketing debt, not supposed to be in the script. We somehow have defined the script to be Hollywood perfect, which is far from what happened and that we learn about and experience in our sacred story. That story is ripe with challenge. That story is about reshaping life and the values and behaviors that are into something that is more akin to God's ways. And what about reshaping is simple or without work? Nothing. Nothing about reshaping and new life is simple or without work. The promise of God is in it, empowering it, but it's not simple. It's not without work. I got to see the Black Nativity this weekend in Boston. And before the show began, my friend told me about his friend who had complained about the duration of Mary's labor in the show. Sorry, pregnant people. I thought to myself, how long can it be, really? And then we got to that part of the story, and I discovered it could be really, really, really long. Long enough that I had plenty of time to ponder during it. And I thought about how sanitized the birth is in all the tellings of the story with which I have experience. How we have made the birth like all the other ideas of how it's supposed to be, neat and tidy. There was nothing neat and tidy or quick about Mary's delivery in the Black Nativity. New life was coming. The world was going to be reshaped, but there was nothing instantaneous about it, nothing tidy, nothing without pain, and a lot of work. Labor is hard, unpredictable, uncomfortable. This is the truth for labor for literal birth, I am told. It is also the truth for labor of birthing the promises of God into earthly existence. Giving light to those who sit in darkness, guiding feet in the way of peace, in the reality of our world. Labor intensive, life disrupting. It's not a simple two-day delivery with Amazon Prime. It's clinging on to the promise of God in the reality of the birth pangs. It is remembering the promises of God when the world is dark and skepticism high. It is living the promises of God to make hope real in a time of turmoil and fear. It is trusting that the same God who brought life through Elizabeth and Zechariah is in the process of bringing life through us, individually and as the church. It's leaning into God and practicing God ways in what is, while trusting in and working for what will be. Be warned, this is messy, and it could rearrange your whole life. Amen.